This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to the evening edition with Lynn, and we're now looking at reports of domestic violence during the MCO, specifically disparities in statistics. So this story comes from the Malay Mail, who interviewed ACP Siti Kamsiah Hassan, the Principal Assistant Director of Bukit Aman's Sexual Women and Child Investigations Division. So while NGOs found a rise in domestic violence during the MCO, the police have found instead a 20% decrease in cases. And Siti Kamsiah says that even though there's been petty fights, domestic abuse as a whole has dropped. And according to her, most reports of domestic abuse previously stemmed from husbands whose wives work and who were therefore, you know, leaving the house and spending most of the day outside. And that typically the suspicion there was of wives having affairs when they were out of the house. And because now the MCO has forced people to stay at home, that's changed. And also moving on from that, when it comes to why the police and NGOs have different statistics, Siti Kamsiah explained that it comes down to whether cases of abuse are reported as crimes. So, for instance, if there are women who are just seeking advice or looking for counselling, the police don't record those cases. Beyond the statistical gaps, though, the police have also found an increase in parental abuse by children, specifically a 20% increase, and that this is perhaps due to frustrations and anger in younger Malaysians who lost their jobs or faced salary cuts, and then in some cases were refused support from their parents. Most of the cases involved adults between 30 and 38 years old. So there's quite a lot to unpack here, not least the, I think we're going to look at both sides of this, the issue of elder abuse and how that's an increasing problem. But first up, also this idea of the disparity in statistics, because you may remember that, roundabout a few months ago now, a little while after the MCO began, domestic violence was a huge thing. It was, you know, something that was constantly talked about. It was in the headlines, and it was something that people were really worried about with people who normally might have other avenues to be out of the home, now stuck potentially with their abusers. And NGOs had commented on that increase and the increase in calls they were getting, in reports they were getting. And so to see that there is this disparity between NGOs and the police, I think, is interesting. I'm also curious as to whether that has something to do with why women reach out to these respective organizations, whether there's a difference between why someone might make a report to the police versus making a report to an NGO and so on. So that's just some of what we'll be getting into after this with Nisha Sabanayagam, Program and Operations Manager at AWAM. And if you have any thoughts that you'd like to share, you can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
Hello, you are listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we are focused now on reports of domestic violence during the MCO and the disparities in statistics that have been observed between NGOs and the police. So we're now crossing over to Nisha Sabanayagam, Program and Operations Manager at the All Women's Action Society, or AWAM. Nisha, thank you so much for joining us. So where do you think the disparity in statistics between the police and NGOs is coming from?
So the disparity in figures could signify a few things, the most basic being that more women probably found it easier to reach out to NGOs during the MCO as opposed to the police. And this in itself is for various reasons. The disparity could also depend on what the statistics are based on. For example, the police could merely be basing their numbers on only domestic violence cases that are being investigated. Whereas in AWAM, for example, every woman who comes in and tells us that she's being abused is a case number, unless our further investigations reveal it to be untrue, if and when that should be the case. So that could in itself already cause a little bit of a disparity in the numbers. But what I think is most important here to note is that the rise of domestic violence cases during crises, especially including pandemics, is a global phenomenon. And this is a situation that has empirical evidence to back it up. And Malaysia is not an exception. So just because the D11 police department sees a decrease in their numbers, it does not mean that the NGO figures are entirely wrong. Granted, we may not have the best data analysis experts in our teams, but when four prominent women's groups that's AWAM, WAO, Sisters in Islam, and WCC, can actually all report an increase in DV cases coming to us during the MCO period, I would say that the direction definitely points towards an upward trend of domestic violence cases during the MCO.
What's the current relationship between the police and NGOs when it comes to handling matters relating to domestic violence? And in your experience, are there different reasons for why women might report first to the police as opposed to NGOs and vice versa?
Okay, so looking at it from Awan's perspective, we are certainly making more of an effort to reach out to the police and work with them better, especially in the past 2 years. And I know that this is also true of other women's groups, especially those working with domestic violence. In fact, AWAM actually used to give them trainings, the police, on gender sensitization and on awareness raising. And just recently, AWAM and the other women's groups, we worked together with the Kampung Tengku Adun, Adun's office in Petaling Jaya, and we actually met the OCPD of Petaling Jaya. And he and his team were very, very open and willing to work with us together on the issue of domestic violence in the Petaling Jaya area. So I would say that the relationship is pretty good, and we're very open to building it up. On the surface, it would seem that the statistics are showing that women are more open to reporting their issues of domestic violence or gender-based violence to women's NGOs. And to be fair, a big chunk of our work as women's rights groups is to actually encourage women to come to us and make reports, you know, and speak up. So we actually do on our own create a lot more awareness on these issues rather than the police, because, you know, obviously the police have various things that they have to do, and they don't, gender-based violence is not the only thing that they work on. However, in AWAM, for example, when the women do come to us and they talk to us about their domestic violence cases or their issues, when it's necessary, we always encourage them to make police reports, because we want them to get police protection from their perpetrators, and we want those incidents of domestic violence to actually be documented and officially reported. So even though they come to us, I would say that we also encourage women to go to the police and make these reports.
Do you think that there needs to be a better alignment of statistics when it comes to cases of domestic abuse? And what might the impact be when that disparity does exist?
Definitely, there needs to be an alignment of data. And this does not just apply to domestic violence, but it also applies to all kinds of other social issues in the country. Because how else are we going to get an insightful picture into the seriousness of the issue without proper and all encompassing data? When there is a disparity in data, what does this mean? This means that, you know, people distrust the data. So there is public distrust in the data. And when there is distrust in the data, what does this mean? This means that people will take the issue less seriously because they don't trust the data, right? So as a result, what we get is less attention being paid to the issue from relevant people. And by relevant people here, I mean policymakers and authorities, the police, for example. And what this leads is to weak or sometimes even no policies to protect women from gender-based violence. And most importantly, especially in the case of Malaysia, if we don't take the data seriously, what this could also ultimately mean is that there are less resources from government agencies being channeled to solve these issues and to address these issues.
So the officer was quoted as saying that there is more conversation now about domestic abuse due to this increase in awareness. Is this something that you've seen as well?
Okay, so the global trend in the rise of domestic violence during the pandemic certainly has brought more attention to the issue. And yes, we do see more and more people speaking about it. We see it within the NGO circles. We see it amongst the people that we deal with on social media. And this is really great. And yes, as was mentioned by the D11 lady, this has contributed to more and more cases being reported. However, as was also mentioned by the D11 lady, it's not the awareness that actually has led to the increase in cases. In actual fact, the reality is such that there is a rise in domestic violence during the pandemic. And this has become so bad globally that experts are calling it a pandemic within a pandemic. So Malaysian authorities should not shy away from this reality, but rather acknowledge it. And they should work with NGOs and other stakeholders to see how we can improve the situation rather than just hiding their heads in the sand. Because the lived reality is domestic violence is a huge issue in Malaysia. It is rising daily, and all of us should work together to address the issue.
And when it comes to mental abuse, Bukit Aman has said that this is underreported due to low levels of awareness among women. What can be done to change that?
Well, obviously, if you want more awareness, you need to have more activities to spread this awareness. And you need to get a lot more people involved, especially important people like politicians, like newsmakers, who can play a huge role in spreading awareness. And I think we should also start including mental health awareness issues and mental health topics in school curriculums and in university curriculums, because mental health is something that affects people of all ages, not just women, but also men. And, you know, from children to adults, from childhood to adulthood. Policies and resources that support mental health awareness and that support programs can also encourage more people to actually report. But most importantly, what we need to do is we need to send out messages, and this is everybody, society, authorities, politicians. We need to send out the message that mental health is not a taboo subject. And the less we see it as a taboo subject, the more we will get people talking about it and the more we will see people reporting about it.
Nisha, thank you so much for joining us. That was Nisha Sabaneyagam, Program and Operations Manager at the All Women's Action Society. After the news, we will be delving into the issue of elder abuse and perhaps why it was more prevalent during the MCO. Again, if you have any thoughts you'd like to share, you can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio and keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.